It's funky night tonight. It's funky night tonight. Give us a candle, give us a light. It's funky night tonight.
All right, hello internet. This is the October Games. I'm sorry, this is the very first October Games podcast. And with me I have
Drake Kesmerzak. I'm the lead designer of the game.
And
I'm Dan Piccolo. I'm doing sound design for the game.
And I am Roberto Aguilar, and I do 3D art. So a little bit nervous, very first podcast. Live on the net.
Yeah, but, I'm not used to this shit.
But I would say definitely very, very excited. How do you guys feel?
Good. Good to talk about the game and just what we're doing.
Cool, yeah. One of the first things we wanted to do was actually thank everybody who has been taking an interest in the game. Everybody on Steam, the people on Twitter, people following Facebook. And actually, we have a few shout-outs here.
Yeah.
You guys want to sound off?
Oh, man, who were those people who did the Puppet Mess less?
There's actually a few of them. I should have tried to figure this out before the podcast, but the most recent one, that was it, Katabos Games? How do you say that? Yeah, they did a really nice Let's Play of our Puppet Master demo. Just came out today, I think. And they said a lot of nice things, so shout out to them. Thanks a lot. You should subscribe to their channel and check out some more of their videos. And then there's Purity Sinners. They did a really, really good Let's Play of our interactive trailer as well. So shout out to them. And then there's the oh my gosh, I'm not used to podcasting.
Let's see, I have one here from Twitter. Actually, the first person who found Totem, it would be Elijah. I'm going to have to spell this out. I'll probably butcher it. K-I-L-G-A-N-N-O-N. Awesome. Very, very, very cool that people have found the hidden stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, you know, definitely the Sinners at Purity Sin. A very enthusiastic video. It's very, very good to see that people enjoy the work.
Oh, yeah. The other one I was thinking of was Gamer Alpha Beta.
You're right.
Written review, and then they did a Let's Play as well, and they said some really nice things. We really appreciate your your support and interest in the game, so thank you for that.
Yeah, very cool stuff. If you guys want to do a little intro,
one more thing. We got a shout out to the person who found Six Shooter. Actually,
So
that was the challenge, and they did it within like I think an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They probably knew where it was beforehand, but Brandon Oliver, he sent us many images of Six Shooter and Totem, so he found both of them. I mean, mm-hmm. Totem wasn't really well hidden. I kind of just threw him in there, but Six Shooter, I tried to hide. I thought maybe he was a little too well hidden, but he found it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think someone on Twitter found Six Shooter as well, or maybe it was just reposted from Facebook. Okay, you reposted. Okay, cool. So yeah, I think that about covers it. I mean, there's thanks to everyone for like the awesome launch of Horror Legends Pumpkey's Revenge on Steam Greenlight. That's been very helpful. I love the enthusiasm behind the behind the game, and we hope to deliver.
Yeah. So going off that topic, do you guys Drake and Dan wanna give a little background of your introduction to October Games and what you have been doing so far on the project?
Well, October Games primarily started by me and James Tregesser for the Puppet Master game. It was, I guess we can go into this another time. I don't want to like get off too off track here, but yeah, we started October Games because of the Puppet Master game, and me and him kind of collaborated on that, and then we got Scott Hacker involved. Did a lot of great programming work on it, and then after that we started focusing on our own project, our original property, which is Horror Legends Pumpkey's Revenge, which is something that Dan and I and me and you Roberto were talking about for like years. Like it's been a dream project since like I remember me Dan and I like 2008 went to a paintball trip, and on the way back we were driving back and we were just gushing over this idea and just thinking of all this crazy mechanics and stuff. And it's been something in the back of our minds for a really long time. And it's really, really exciting that we're actually getting a chance to do it.
Cool. Yeah. I remember the first time I heard about Horror Legends was, what was it, 09? Summer of 09, I think?
We were probably working together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely been a long way coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back then, there really wasn't any work done on it. It was just like a theoretical thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you made a Sasquatch. That was about it.
I modeled a Sasquatch.
I think you made that. I think that's a little, whether that's, or not. I don't think even you made that for Horror Legends. You just wanted to make a Sasquatch.
Well, I did make it for Horror Legends, actually.
I thought you just wanted to make a Sasquatch.
I guess it's kind of a spoiler because I'm really spoiled. It's not like a movie or anything. But that's another killer that I want to release for Horror Legends is I want to do like a Sasquatch.
Well,
like,
now it's a spoiler.
Well, I mean, they know I just said
you made a Sasquatch. I didn't say anything about it being in the game.
Well, now they know that's an idea. So I mean, I might as well just say it since they're going to ask. I mean, obviously, I mean, you made a Sasquatch for Horror Legends. Is that going to be in the game? Well, yes. Yeah, I would like a Sasquatch to be in the game. That's kind of one of the... I think that'd be really fun. I did make a Sasquatch model. I can post some pictures of it.
I had a really cool idea the other day of making a slasher or something. Something like that that was like in like a geisha with like a fox mask or something like that.
Yeah, this, the great thing with the slasher is you can just make so freaking many of them and you can have them like as like alternate costumes and shit, and that would be really fun. It's like that's how it was in the 80s. Like you'd see like Terror Train and like New Year's Evil. It's just like there's alternate versions of Friday the 13th and Halloween. There's tons and tons of slashers out there from the 80s. So it'd be, I mean, we can just every update we can almost make a new slasher and just update the skin and like, hey, if you want to play it's this type of slasher or that kind of slasher.
Right now we haven't even said that we're going to have a slasher in the game.
That's true. Yeah, we're kind of
not official.
That's kind of jumping the gun here. Almost feel like we're really messing this podcast up here.
Just a disclaimer. The slasher is just something we want to put in the game, and it's something that it would be very easy to do, but not official just yet. I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah, well,
probably a teaser, maybe.
Yeah, maybe we should go into that more, maybe. Or is there anything else we should touch on? Like, should we go into like our plan?
Definitely shed some more light on that and what Horror Legends is all about, but. Actually, before we jump into that, why don't you shed some light on... So you've shed light on how October Games started, who's involved, but what is the plan for October Games, for example?
Okay, yeah.
There are some ideas going around, but actually, you know, if you guys want to shed light on that.
Well, October Games is kind of... The basic premise is, I mean, it could evolve after this, but right now it's kind of like we want to make games that you could play with your friends around Halloween time, like something that you would gravitate to, you know, like multiplayer horror is kind of unexplored.
But we also want you to play it the rest of the year as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right? Yeah, it's just good horror games, good multiplayer horror games you can play for the rest of the year with really innovative ideas and concepts. But I really should have written this down.
we want to make scary multiplayer games.
In a nutshell, I guess is the simplest way to say it.
That's pretty much.
So definitely horror games by horror fans for horror fans.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
if you want to give it a slogan or something.
We're just good at that.
We should put that on the website.
Yeah.
I don't think we should. But that's, you know, it's kind of like any other ad ever. It's like Diet Coke, cola for people on diets.
Oh, that's awesome! I wish I could
buy
get a
people
t-shirt
on diets.
Put that on the website. Diet cola, cola for people on diets.
So yeah, definitely. So what is the I mean, without, you know, ruining any surprises, I'm sure a lot of people who have been following the game, you know, are curious, like, what is Horror Legends about? You know, with what we've announced so far, could you compliment on that and, you know, give people a bigger idea of what to expect from Horror Legends?
Do we want to lay on the theoretical backstory a bit?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you mean the story of the concept, the characters and stuff, like the mythos?
Yeah. The mythos.
Maybe a little bit. I'm still working on it. I feel like it could change.
Yeah, that's true.
I was actually having an epiphany the other day that I might want to change some drastic things I haven't really kind of changed.
The nutshell is, I mean, the characters are set in stone right now, or pretty much set.
Yeah, well, sort of like
we're not going to change them too drastically.
Was that?
We're not going to change like the cast member, the initial cast member.
Oh no, it was actually always Pumpkey. What exactly his deal is, and I was thinking.
Oh well, that's a nitty gritty, but I think like the skeleton of like, you know, you got these three. I'm just going to go ahead and say you're going to be playing as three punks that go to a farm that happens to be the hunting ground for Mr. Pumpkey, who terrorizes anybody that comes to that farm on Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Basically, I guess I can go a little further with it, is that like the character Pumpkey, he stalks on Halloween, and he kind of goes after like trick or treaters or kids. He's kind of like a what do you call it? What's that thing from Wizard of Oz? Dragon.
A pedophile.
Scarecrow.
Pedophile. He's not a pedophile. He's like he's that guy who puts razor blades in your apples on Halloween and puts it in your trick or treat bag. He's kind of like he started off as that, and then he ended up. I don't know. I'm going too far into the backstory now.
Right. So I'm just egging you on.
Don't egg me on the podcast, man. I can't handle that shit.
So definitely the town boogeyman.
Yeah, he's a town boogeyman. He's kind of like the Headless Horseman in a way, where you go near the bridge with Ichabod Crane, mm-hmm. the Headless Horseman appears, and where he's kind of that way, but with a farm. And then if you look, mm-hmm. if you know, there's clues in the environment to the backstory. And players can look for those and kind of like piece them together, and we'll release more as we develop more. But
we definitely want to reserve the nitty gritty of it for the players to discover on their own.
Yeah, it's kind of not half the fun, but like it's a big portion of the game. Where
we're not going to hand you the entire backstory. You're just
we want to put you in position.
We give you the characters and the setting. And then you just got to figure it out.
You're right. We want to like put you in the position of those characters, where you're and experiencing out for the first time, just like they are. Like they wouldn't know, they wouldn't see like a prelude. Like in some movies, you'll see like the first kill of a horror movie of the killer doing something. They kind of get a taste for what the movie's going to be like. You're not going to get that. Mm-hmm. You're going to just jump right in. Actually, that's kind of where like a lot of the inspiration comes for. Like the idea of just jumping in and not really knowing what you're going to get is kind of one of the core mechanics for horror legends that we want in the future. I don't want to jump too far ahead of our schedule here. Like eventually we want to do more killers, like we were mentioning earlier. We start off with just so this initial release is going to be one killer, three cast members, and one environment. And what we want to do, if Steam allows us to, or Valve allows us to do. So we'll release the game for like $2, like $1.99. You get the
whoa.
This is hypothetical.
Hypothetical. It's going to be cheap.
This is what we want to do.
It's going to be cheap.
Yeah, it's going to be cheap. We want to make it cheap and accessible, and because
we probably will do like $2, but you know, don't want to.
what it says on the green light when you're starting up green light and you read through all the information that they say is that Valve/Steam will contact you once they accept you for Steam green light and then they'll talk to you about pricing.
That's what I was saying,
but we're gonna pitch to them, or we want to do a cheap game of like $1.99 is what I want to shoot for.
Right.
And we want to do something kind of like a reactive development plan. So basically we release this kind of a skeleton of the game that we really want to make to people for a really cheap price. And based on the sales we get from that game, we can add more to the game so we can budget. We'll budget based on our sales. So we're basically working for free this whole time. Like, all this is coming out of my pocket. Like, I've been paying for this, and Dan's been buying stuff for his sound equipment. Like, we've all been paying for this out of our pocket to make this, because we really like this idea. We were really in love with this idea of Horror Legends. We figured, instead of doing a Kickstarter, which requires all this overhead of, like, creating, like, swag and stuff, like T-shirts and, like, sending it out to people. And that's, like, a huge deal. Some people don't realize that, but, like, you have to create all this stuff and send it to people eventually. And, like, some people don't understand that, and
Kickstarter.
Let's do a Kickstarter, and then they make a bunch of money. And like, well, we gotta make T-shirts. It's like, yeah, you gotta make T-shirts. those people.
Yeah, you owe 40% of the budget to your backers.
Exactly, and it's like, I can't do that. Like, we won't have the free time or the assets to do that, but we have the skills to make this game.
It'll be fun.
I
need a bigger Foley room.
Yeah.
I was like swinging around a broomstick trying to make a swoosh sound and almost knocked my computer off the desk.
Yeah, we're working purely out of passion here. So I guess got a little off track here.
No, this is good. Excellent.
It's good. It's stuff. I just feel like I'm coming out. I'm doing this out of order. But
it's no order.
I know. I was trying to make a point earlier, and I forgot what it was.
Yeah, I think you made that point like 1,000 times. Like this is a no budget production.
I was using that to make another point though.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Explaining the price. So we want to do it for. So basically, yeah, reactive development plan is what I was thinking of. Is basically based on the sales we get from the game. We'll look at that month. Will be our budget for that month, and we'll go, what can we make? What can we add to the game with this budget? And then we'll just keep doing that. And once we finish the game, you know, every time we update after that, we'll increase the price a little bit. So basically, the person that buys it next. Okay, I think I just skipped a part here. I'm really bad at podcasting. So basically, we just go, all right, reset button. All right, you buy the game. If you buy the game at $1.99, you own the game. There's no like crazy DLC. You know, we're not gonna like make you pay for the game multiple times. Once you buy the game at $1.99, you have it. But if you don't buy the game and we update it and we increase the price, then you have to buy it at that price, which. Satan's angels are outside doing.
Yeah,
donuts.
I know. So you were saying.
I was saying.
Once you buy it, you have it, and at first we're going to release it for like $1.99.
Yeah,
and
you're getting
as we feel it's worth more, we'll increase the price incrementally. But if you have it, if you bought it early on. You still have it.
You're in.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't have. You're not charged anything.
Yeah. So we're gonna do it.
All leading up to like the full release of the game, where I'm thinking it would be like next year. Yeah.
We're thinking like next Halloween would be the.
That would be like, awesome.
The full finished version.
All the monsters, all the cast members.
Yeah.
All the environments.
What I want to achieve is like every update. Would be a monster, a few cast members, an environment, maybe a weapon.
It would be really cool to do like it all thematically, you know.
Yeah, and then here's my favorite part about the Horror Legends like design is that you get to mix and match. Like I want to be able to have Punky in X environment that we created later, and the thing that I'm really excited about is when you're playing it as a cast member. You don't know what monster you're up against. You're gonna be you're gonna be like, I don't know if I'm up against Punky. Let me just throw it out there: a werewolf, Sasquatch,
a killer snowman.
Dan wants a snowman.
I do want a snowman.
We'll have to talk about that.
Jack Frost. You remember?
I know Jack Frost.
Roberta, did you see Jack Frost?
I've seen parts of it on Sci-Fi.
Not you, Drake. Roberta.
Actually, I've seen it on Netflix, but I've never
Okay.
No,
I've seen that and Gingerbread.
There's a scene where he turns into the water that this girl is bathing in, and then impales her with an icicle.
Nice. I watched.
I think it might be an icicle dick, but I'm not sure.
So Dan wants a snowman with an icicle dick. I've noted that. I'll put it in Trello. Snowman with icicle dick.
Well, it's not shaped like a dick, so but it might come out to where a hypothetical snowman would have a dick.
And legends and cast members come out, people could eventually, you know, mix and match and play as their favorite cast member from X level.
Yeah, the exciting thing is...
So you could be wandering around a spaceship as a snowman with an icicle dick.
Yeah, with a bunch of punks exploring the spaceship.
Yeah.
It's basically kind of like you create your own horror movie of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the basic concept. Really excited about it. We hope to add like tons of cool stuff, but through iterative updates. So the release that you're going to get, hopefully, you know, if Steam Greenlight permits, this Halloween would have Punky, which is like a supernatural like Pumpkinhead slasher, kind of similar to like he's kind of a mix between Jason Voorhees and Pumpkinhead with a you know actual Pumpkinhead. And a
Freddy
bunch of he doesn't have supernatural
and
powers.
Myers
like,
and
why don't you just name the entire path horror
that's,
characters?
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
I was picking two, and you went. All right, never mind. What else? What am I talking about here? We're all getting back on track.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean this is all good stuff. I'm sure a lot of people, you know, these are answers to a lot of the questions people had online, and actually one of them, I would say this is one of the big two, is, and I think this is all Drake, what's up with Puppet Master? Everybody's asking about Puppet Master. They play the demo, they love it, there's videos online. Could you shed some light on that?
Sure, yeah, I can shed some light on Puppet Master. I mean, like I was saying before, Puppet Master was kind of the reason October Games was even started. Well, maybe, actually, October Games started up as like a portfolio site for, you know, James Tregesser's portfolio site, the guy who, he's one of the guys that helped me with the Puppet Master demo. He made Tunneler, he made Torch, he like made them identical. So he made a really good job on that. And he did a lot of texture work for the environment. He was kind of like their main, kind of the driving force in the beginning for that. You know, it was his idea to even make a Puppet Master game. And somehow he got in contact with Full Moon and pitched the idea to them, and they're like, "Yeah, sure, let's. If you make us like a demo or you know a trailer or something, we'd be happy to look at it." And we did that like in 2012. I was unemployed at the time, and I was spending a lot of my time just making that for the demo and half of my portfolio to find new work. But it turned out that they ended up finding it like later that year. And contacted us, and we started having James and I were talking to him, talking to Full Moon about doing a demo for like probably like 6 months, and we built the demo for that. I'm trying to pick my words wisely. they ended up having other plans, so the Puppet Master game kind of shelved, and since it was shelved, we're like, okay, since we can't do Puppet Master right now, I think I'm getting off track here. That's when Horror Legends started, because I was like, well, a lot of the ideas that we had for the Puppet Master game were coming from Horror Legends. Like, the concept that we had, that we were taking ideas from Horror Legends, because that was an idea we had earlier, and we were just bringing in there, like, the asymmetrical combat, like, the three puppets versus one human is kind of the inverse of what Horror Legends is.
Of three cast members versus one legend.
Yeah. Oh, actually, in Horror Legend, I want to do four.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you'd have, in the beginning, one dupe, but we'll have, like, alternate skins and stuff, so there's no, direct duplicates, but...
Where are we at now? I thought we were still talking about Puppet Master.
We are. I kind of trailed off into Horror Legends again. Okay. I went through a brief history of Horror Legends and... Or Puppet Master, and then now I'm going to go back to Puppet Master. So the future for Puppet Master, well, it's up to Full Moon what they want to do. We're more than willing to do a Puppet Master game. It's just that we would need, if we were to do an official Puppet Master game, we would need their backing, just allowing legally their backing to do a game. We want to be able to make the game. We don't want to make like a fan game or anything like that. But
yeah,
Full
Moon is pretty much the reason Horror Legends started up.
Well, Full Moon's the reason why October Games started up, and Horror Legends. We made lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah, we started Horror Legends because they were dragging their feet with Puppet Master.
Yeah.
I wasn't like involved in the talks or anything. This is just what I took away from, like, just talking to Drake. My interpretation of what went on what Full Moon was up to. But I mean, they obviously had their own their reasons. They were busy. And it's like, I'm not trying to rag on them or anything. I was just saying.
No, yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Same here. The first time I heard about it, very, very, very excited to, work on the project, be a part of it. But unfortunately, I guess you could say, it's on hold until further notice.
Yeah.
And definitely, we focus our energies on back on Horror Legends, and hopefully, the people dig it and they'll get into it.
Yeah, let me just say one more thing about Puppet Master.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of on hold.
Mm-hmm.
My plan is, if Full Moon doesn't want to do an official game, well, since we've been really promising a game, not necessarily promising, but advertising a game for mm-hmm. quite a while, I don't want to let those fans down. I do want to do something with Puppet Master, multiplayer Puppet Master, not just the demo. I feel like some people are a little let down by it because it wasn't the multiplayer game that they wanted. So I do want to do what I want to do is, once Horror Legends gets out there and has it's built up enough, we have some funding from that game. I want to take Horror Legends and mod it so it is a Puppet Master game. Like, we can mm-hmm. take that and retool it, and because we have the assets, we can just drop it into Horror Legends and release it as a freeware thing.
Yeah,
a very simplistic version of what we wanted to make with Full Moon for free, and just give that out. Hopefully fans would like that, and I'll hold them over until something else happens. Maybe mm-hmm. we'll update that periodically when we have some time or have the spare resources. But I do want to see the game, want to see more of a game like thing come out of Puppet Master, because we put a lot of work into it, and it would be really a shame not to see that. And there's assets that were barely, like, I spent a lot of time working on that totem character, and he's like in the closet hidden behind a box, and I was like, oh man, like, you're supposed to play as that guy, and he's just hidden away. And there's some other things that, like, we were working on that weren't really finished either. But there's a lot of concepts that were just cut because of the demo. It was very limited resources. Like, before, like, when we were making the Puppet Master demo, it was like Roberto was helping me with assets, James was helping me with like characters, and Scott was doing a lot of work with the programming. But he was trying to get a job, and he was trying to find some work himself, so he couldn't like work on it all the time, and he was was only able to do some things, and I was doing I was wrangling everything, trying to get it out there, and I don't want it to just be that. I wanted to have a little bit more to it. So hopefully we can do something, whether it's official or not. I don't think there's anything wrong with releasing a free game so fans can enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I don't think so. Definitely getting something out to the fans that, they've been following it for a while.
Mm-hmm. And just the idea it gets me excited to see like a multiplayer, there's nothing else like it. Like, the Puppet Master license really lends itself to video games very well, and it's a very unique concept. You have these little things attacking a big thing in multiplayer. You never really see that, and I think some unique concepts come out of it if we really develop it. But until we get some official backing, I don't know how far we can go with it. I think until then, it's going to be very simplistic.
Cool, yeah. Really, really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm actually looking at the itinerary here, and damn, we've covered a lot, but that's pretty much the whole thing. Another thing we have here, actually, we already pretty much did the Q&A, since the Puppet Master question was the most asked question. And same deal with the release for Horror Legends. So,
there was another thing, is there was a lot of people there. I noticed a lot of people that speak in other languages posting on the Steam Greenlight page. Mm. And I noticed you made an announcement for the localization. I haven't actually asked you about that. How are we planning on going about alternate languages for it?
Yeah,
we're obviously not going to just Google Translate everything. That would suck.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. so yeah, actually, damn, that slipped the itinerary. The game will be in English at launch. We could translate into Spanish once we have, you know, all the, I guess, you know, menus and audio, like a table of anything either spoken or written that we could, you know, pull out of the game, and I'll translate it into Spanish. We right. could probably get French in there as well, but I guess, you know, as of right now, English, you know, definitely 100% Spanish. I'm more than happy to do it. The other languages, I guess, would really depend on the demand, probably. I could be wrong. I'm not sure what you guys think.
Someone offered to do, someone offered a long time ago for Puppet Master to do German.
Oh, nice.
I can hit them up again and see if they would like to do Horror Legends. That would be possible. I mean, I'm sure we can find some other people to do localization.
Yeah,
well, I think it depends on our
the issue then would be at least for me would be that I'd have to redo all the all of the spoken parts in that language.
Well, we might be able to maybe as a placeholder just do subtitles.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, honestly, it wouldn't be that hard to put in other languages if once the script starts getting recorded, I knew what languages we needed to get done, and I can just, you know, smack the voice actor across the head. It's like, no, you sound like an American trying to speak this language.
Nice.
Wow.
That would work. That would work. Yeah,
definitely. We could do that. We have to also talk to Brock about that. Brock, I don't think I mentioned Brock before, in this podcast yet. Programming, or he's doing most of the programming for Horror Legends. He's doing a really good work. So yeah, I just want to give a shout out to that.
He's our invisible programmer.
Yeah,
he literally moves every time we move closer to him. He moves farther away.
Yeah, one thing I like.
He's one of my best friends out here in Seattle, so it's kind of weird.
Well, another thing I like to mention, just let people be aware of, is that like I was saying before, we're like a no budget developer. We're also all over the country. Like right now, Dan and I are roommates, but Roberto's in Chicago. Our programmer's in Walla Walla, Washington, and another artist, James Tregesser, he's in Florida, and. And Scott that worked on Puppet Masters and also in Chicago. So we're all over the place working.
And we're in Tacoma.
Oh, yeah. We're in Tacoma, Washington. So, we're all over the place. It's very hard to coordinate schedules and work on this stuff.
Like stretched straight through the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All over the place. Just, what was I going to say? Yeah, just finding the time to work on this stuff. Like, we all have jobs and trying to, like, you know, find time to work on the game is really difficult. So it's very important that we eventually move out of the I want to be able to pay like you guys. Like if we get some sales in from the game, you know, I want to pay you guys working on the game more full time than part-time, barely part-time. And I think that's going to benefit the game. So I guess that's another reason why we're even charging for it. It's a project of passion, but in order to even accomplish anything with, you know, we need money to do that. Instead of running Kickstarter, like I was saying before, you know, that takes a lot of overhead, whereas just making a template and selling the template, or not a template, like a skeleton of what we want to make and build upon that skeleton and do that reactive schedule or development schedule, then I think we'll be able to pull this off.
Yes.
Very, very yes.
I think Dan put a tape recorder down. It just says yes every couple of minutes. And he walked away.
Yes.
Yeah, every time there's a pause, the yes kicks in.
Yes. Yes.
This is very, very good stuff. Definitely, we went through all the highlights. Actually, the last one we have here on the schedule is, do you guys actually want to geek out a bit and let fans know which movies or old school horror games got you into?
What inspired us?
Yeah. Inspiration.
Inspiration, huh? Dan, you want to go first?
Sure. Wait, inspired, like... Well, I know the... as far as music for this, my main inspiration for the music of Horror Legends has been the soundtrack for Sinister.
Awesome.
The movie. Yeah. The
movie's freaking awesome.
I heard... the movie... I thought the movie was really cool. It didn't, like, scare me, but I thought it was really cool. But when I sat down and listened to the music for it, I was just like... during the ending credits, I sort of realized that I heard the music for it, and I was like, "Oh, this is really cool." It's kind of like, it's kind of glitchy and kind of like really, really, it's really unsettling music. I really liked it a lot. So as far as I should totally. And as far as Foley goes, if you look up on YouTube, Noisy Sid, that's his channel name, Noisy Sid. He was the guy that. He got me started in Foley, watching his videos. He gave me pointed me in the direction of, like, how to do Foley, how to approach it, how to think about it, and really make, like, good sound effects and shit like that. Can I swear? I just did.
The first thing I did was swear. I was nervous.
No, that's
not an F-bomb within the first 5 seconds of this podcast.
We'll hit it in post actually, if we want.
Yeah, replace it with the cat noises or something.
No, it's funny. Actually, everybody that talks about Sinister, the first thing I hear them say is the audio. They're like, oh man, it was amazing.
Yeah, so, yeah, the music in that movie is great.
The main... I watched that on a Blu-ray. And when I put the Blu-ray in, the menu...
That
scared
menu,
me.
Yeah.
The menu scared me. I was like, I don't know if I want to hit play on this shit. But it was a great... It scared me, man. It was a great... It was like... I don't think there was many jump scares. It was like all...
No, it wasn't.
It was like a very... It was just like the atmosphere took you. And
it was a really good film. I honestly was like... I wasn't really scared by it. Like, I was like with some movies like... Well, with like... Do you own... For instance, I wasn't really scared like I was when I saw Ju-On, but it was a really good movie and like a really good film, I should say.
I just also want to say about Sinister is like that is the best way to do found footage, or it's the best found footage movie because it's a movie, it's a legit about movie about a guy finding footage, and then found footage moments are even freakier because you get the best. It's the best parts of a found footage movie. You know, with an actual narrative attached to it. Because I saw As Above, So Below.
Like instead of
yeah. I saw As Above, So Below like a couple weeks ago, and that movie was frustrating. Like, I can't stand... I haven't watched a legit found footage movie since, like, Wreck. And I liked Wreck. I liked it a lot. But found footage doesn't really work for me because it's just all this time. You have to give the movie a lot. Like
50% of the movie is the camera moving and you can't see what's going on.
Can't see it. And I mean, these are all complaints that have been well documented, but you can't really, you have to give the movie a lot. Like, oh, they have cameras because of some bullshit reason. Like, oh, I'm a film student. I just love to film everything. And I, even if a guy's coming at me with a knife, I'm going to sit here and, you know, try to get it in the camera. Like, I would just ditch the camera, man.
Hell yeah, throw that away and just run.
I think it would be I think it would be more believable if you said it was a POV movie, not a found footage movie, and it was just the entire movie shot through somebody's eyes.
There was a movie that did that, but from the third person perspective.
Oh, okay.
I forget. I don't know, Roberto, do you know what I'm talking about? It's about like a girl in a house that it's like over your shoulder.
It would make more sense. It would
make
more
sense. It's all one shot. The movie's all one shot.
Yeah, yeah. It's called Silent House, I want to say.
Yeah. Silent. I haven't seen that. Is that any good?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the trailer was better than the entire experience, but... I mean, you could definitely tell where the cuts are. All of a sudden, you know, she turns around real quick. There's this blur and, you know, obviously the cut's right there. But I think what made the movie interesting was that this is all one shot. Oh, man, how is it going to look compared to, you know, at the end, that whole reveal of, hey, this is why this is happening. Oh, that kind of sucks. It's pretty lame. But the trailer was cool, so yeah. There was this also this British movie. What's it called? I forget the name, but this dude, he's in his apartment, you know, in England, and I think he's having trouble sleeping, probably has insomnia, whatever. So he starts, like, seeing creatures. I don't want to give too much away, but these creatures look like something straight out of Silent Hill. And the trailer was freaky, but the trailer was the best parts. 2.5 minutes of the entire movie.
Yeah.
and it's all because of the ending, of like, hey, and this is why this is happening. Ah, oh, that's lame. I, 2 hours of my life. thank you very much.
Yeah.
Did you know there were like 6 Ju-On movies, The Grudge? There were like 6 of them.
The Japanese versions?
Yeah.
6 Japanese.
There were like 6 of them. It's
damn,
crazy. Yeah, apparently there are a lot of television movies were there. Mm-hmm. I was at this video store up in Capitol Hill, and I was looking to see if they had Ju-On, and they did, but they also had like 5 other movies. 5 other Ju-On movies right next to it. I'm like, holy shit, where are all these movies coming from? I would love to make like a Japanese horror inspired release for Horror Legends.
Yeah, and also talking about found footage, I would like to do a film student cast member who has a camera, and you look through the camera and you can kind of record things, so you can play as the found footage guy in the horror movie. Yeah. That'd be kind of
oh man.
The perk to him is that you can use the night vision.
Yeah, yeah. I want light to be a big kind of almost like a resource in Horror Legends, where I want there to be multiple light sources. Like, you can get flashlights, flares. Like, we're talking about inspirations. One of my biggest inspirations, which you guys probably won't be surprised by this, is Alien vs. Predator.
yes.
Those games were kind of...
Wait, you like that game?
Yeah, I didn't tell you about that.
No.
Those games were the greatest. Like, my main inspiration with Horror Legends, a lot of the kind of mechanics were kind of inspired from those games. And it's like in my opinion, that's like the ultimate monster game. Like, you get two, it's a 3-way battle, and they do it really well. But I was like talking about the light sources. In AVP-1, you had the flares, and in AVP-1, light was actually a big deal. And you can destroy lights and throw flares down, night vision goggles and everything like that. In AVP-2, you had the shoulder lamps, and flares were, you know, also a part of that. So it was, you know, I would like to have multiple light sources. Like, you don't see that too often nowadays, and I want to bring that back in a way. It would be cool to be the monster and just start destroying lights, and like kind of like the cast members are like, oh my god, we have to find a flashlight or something, or huddle around the guy with the flashlight, and they're like, okay, where do we go? And then, you know, there's a lot of cool things that could happen from that. If you have a flare gun or like a lantern, I'm thinking you can have the lantern, you can chuck the lantern like almost like a Molotov cocktail. That'd be kind of neat. There's so many cool things you can do, and not just make them boring flashlights.
One thing that would be really cool is the film student, you know, he's filming night vision, and all of a sudden the killer stalker just walks across the screen.
Oh yeah, I mean,
that's... Oh man, that would be so freaky. That would scare the shit out of me.
You're kind of an easy scare though.
No, I saw the trailer for what's it called, The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Oh yeah, you checked that out, huh?
It scared dude, I didn't want to leave this room.
The new one?
Yeah, the new one. I actually saw both of them, but just the whole, like, you know, still, and then the shot of the dude with the sack on his face. So the room I'm in is fully lit, but then, you know, I have to walk out into the hallway, which is dark, into the room, which has the lights off. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost pissing myself from here to there after watching this trailer.
the original Town That Dreaded Sundown, I think, has a trumpet kill in it. Like, the guy has a trumpet and he like kills the guy with the trumpet. It's really ridiculous. Like, it's a movie from like the 70s. Like, I think it's even before Halloween or something. Like, I'm surprised it's not brought up more often. I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure I'm wrong. Now that I'm on a podcast, I'm really self-conscious about these factoids.
That's why I had to go double check the number of Grudge movies just now. It's so, and I was right. There were six, counting the American ones. There were two. There was Ju-On, The Grudge, and Ju-On, The Grudge 2, which were the two big Japanese films. And then, but before that, there was Ju-On, The Curse, and Ju-On, The Curse 2.
Yeah.
So there were two more Grudge movies before the ones that everybody knows.
Right.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, The Town That Dreaded Sundown was 76. Halloween...
Was Halloween 78?
On.
Or 79?
It just told me the... I typed it in and it just gave me the holiday movie. First Halloween. What was it like? I think that was 79 or 78. So yeah, it was before Halloween. It was before a lot of those slashers, and it was doing like things that were very Friday the 13th, you know, kind of goofy stuff. I'm sure it was a made-for-TV movie. It was neat. I don't know. It was kind of a bore, though. I don't know what else.
I think a lot of those older movies have some of the similar problems to the movies nowadays.
Yeah. I mean,
in that they have like a really cool concept, and then you watch them, and you're just like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, especially nowadays. there's a lot of bad stuff out there.
Yeah. And every trailer has
I like the ones that are. I like the old ones that are really, really bad, but it looks like the people that directed it were on acid the entire time. So it's like it's a really bad movie, but it's fun as shit to watch.
Yeah. I feel like older bad movies are more entertaining than new bad movies.
I think they were less self-conscious, but still bad.
Right. I mean, it was harder to make movies back then, so it was kind of like a novelty to even have a movie. Mm-hmm. I think nowadays it's so much easier, so it's just there's more of them out there, so it's just kind of like you roll your eyes every time you see another found footage film or just some generic slasher movie.
Dan, would you... I know you talked about, you know, your inspiration for horror from film, but do you want to mention anything like any, you know, games, any classic games that got you into... horror as well?
Horror games? Well, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Well, like, I always thought, like, Siren.
Hell yeah.
The first one really, that's one of the few games that I could not finish because of how much it freaked me out.
Did you ever beat it, or?
No, hell no.
Nice.
Last time I played it, which was I should probably go back and replay it, but it was a very I remember like every moment that I played of it extremely vividly because it was very it got me really good. It was very creepy. It's like if you don't know the premise of it, do you know the premise of it?
Yeah, I have it. I actually started it back in the day when it came out on PS2. And yeah, last Halloween, I picked it up on PSN, but I could only get through the first two missions and it creeped me out.
yeah, pretty much that's how it went for me. Like, I got through a couple missions, and then there's one mission, like, you know how the joysticks control and you can, like, navigate around to tune in to the Murebito, their eyes? Well, like, I got to this mission where you're supposed to lead this blind girl through a forest, and... It's fucking pitch black in the forest. It's like, you can't see shit. You have eyes. She doesn't have eyes, and you may as well be blind. But then you use the tune-in thing, and you can, like, tune into this Murebito, and if they can see you, there's, like, a little blue or green thing, if they can see where you are, like, shine on their view. And he was, like, looking straight at me, but not attacking me. I couldn't see him. It was dark. I had to lead this blind girl through the forest, and there's some monster in the forest looking straight at me, and I know it. I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm walking away from this game right now. That and like you could like in the other levels, you could like you tune into what they're doing, and you can like see them like going up to mirrors and like picking at their nails with a bloody rusty knife. And just like, what the hell? There's like one that's just hitting a wall with a hammer for no apparent reason. He's just doing it. And then if they see you, it flashes their screen and they scream and they come running at you. And you can't fight back. You just have to hide and hope they don't catch you.
You know, that kind of reminds me of that kind of mechanic. It kind of reminds me of Jaws. You know how in the Jaws movie, it's all from the shark's perspective. And that they did that really well. They kind of kept it. It's a good way to keep the monster hidden and also present at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they did that really well in Siren. I played actually recently. I booted that up and played the first level or two, and it was pretty effective.
The first still holds up. First game?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There was a new one
that came out.
Yeah, I downloaded the demo off PSN. It was like a launch title for PS3, and I downloaded the demo, and it was actually really cool. And I've been meaning to pick that up. I just have no time. I have no time to play.
Siren 2 never made it to the States, which is unfortunate.
So that's the third one?
The second one.
The PS3 one, I think it's like a remake.
A remake?
Really? No, it's like a reimagining. Like,
oh, okay.
So it's basically the same story, but instead of being all these Japanese characters, it's an American TV crew who comes to
Japan. Oh, God. God damn it.
I thought it was pretty cool. Shit. I mean, I showed you that demo, right?
Huh? I'm sure it was cool, but I'm so fucking sick and tired of everything that's every good Japanese story being like, oh, that's a cool story. Let's make Americans in it.
Well, I guess like, I guess be that's question.
That's a really cool story. You know what would be better if they were American?
I guess it begs the question: if it was made by an American studio, and someone there thought maybe it would appeal more to American gamers because of that. I mean, I'm not saying it's the right.
Well, that mentality. I'm well versed in that mentality because pretty much all old people have it. If they're business executives and old, they think that everybody else just wants everything to be American for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Oh man!
Honestly. The Grudge, the American one, is like almost shot for shot identical to Ju-On. I mean, it's very similar to Ju-On, and the only difference, the only thing that they changed was A, the actors that played the main characters, and they took out a lot. Everything that's in it was in the original, except they took stuff out, and they made the main characters American.
Oh, you know what I remember in the original?
And they had this, like, they had this really eye-rolling moment right at the beginning where, like, who was the character? Who was the female lead in that movie? Who is the actor? Actress? I don't remember. It's like they have this, like, little monologue where they're like, oh, it's so hard to be an American in a foreign land. It's like, really? It's like, that's going to be a thing in this movie? How you're ostracized in Japan? It doesn't play into anything in the movie. It's just, they just threw it in there because, you know, they're Americans in Japan. They should feel ostracized by it. It's like, and then they get hunted down by a ghost.
No, the original, it had this awesome scare that when I saw it, I was like, why the fuck isn't this in the movie? Oh man, I forget the characters' names, but that one character that she goes to her apartment, takes the elevator up, and she sees the boy like over and over again. So there's this scare in the original where she turns on the TV,
yes,
and the TV starts freaking out, and it pauses on this like crooked, like,
face.
Oh, that scared the crap out of me. That was awesome.
I know. It's like, I love that part. Oh my god. Oh, that wasn't in the second, in the American version either. I don't think.
No, they cut that out, and it was the elevator ride. She gets in, gets the phone call. There's a knock on the door. There's nobody there. She crawls into bed, and the lady drags her into the sheets. But
yeah. Yeah.
That scare, that was so awesome.
There was another thing that pissed me off about the American version. At the end of the American version, she burns the fucking house down, and she wins. It's like, They actually, oh, yeah, you're right. It's like, how would Americans handle this?
With fire!
Burn it!
Burn it down!
In the original, it was way more mind-blowing. You find out that the female protagonist has been sort of like a conduit for the house to start and starts killing her friends through her. She's been sort of like and there's this huge realization that she's been somewhat possessed by the house itself. And it's like, whoa, that's freaky. It's like, you unknowingly are unleashing this evil onto the people around you. That's even more devastating and freaky. But, you know, Americans can't handle that. They'd rather, fire! That's how we solve these problems. Fine.
Yeah. I guess the problem with an American cinema is that there's too much money involved, and you have these producers that are like trying to make things
and old
most successful as possible by watering them down for more audience members. Yeah,
well,
they're trying
to make it as successful as possible, and they're old, which
translates
to
the key word is trying. I don't understand why they can't just release. I mean, I do understand why, but it would be nice if they could release foreign films just to Americans.
Well,
as it'd be good to get some freaking culture in ya, you know?
Yeah. it's a matter of like corporations and stuff. They have this problem with wanting all of the profits, not just some of the profits, all of the profits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
That was a huge segue.
Yeah, that was a good one, though. That was good.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Roberto, do you want to talk about anything? Any games? I laugh because I know what you're going to say, but you want to talk
about
any questions for you?
Yeah, shit, I could hear you laughing already. Resident Evil, Resident Evil 2. That is
Resident Evil 2.
That's
the
gospel.
Best one.
Resident Evil 2 is the best
Resident Evil ever.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
What about the remake, Roberto? What do you think of the remake compared to 2?
I would say the remake is the creepiest out of all the Resident Evils.
But isn't
Resident Evil 2? Well, here's the thing. When I first saw Resident Evil, which was Resident Evil 2, I just saw the stuff on screen. I had never seen anything like it. When I actually played it, I thought the game was going to end like 4 times before I actually made it to the end. So the game just kept getting bigger and bigger. So you start off the game and go to the police station. You'll be safe there. Oh, I made it. Ah, shit. It's fucked up. I'm not safe here. Oh, go to the underground. You'll be safe there.
Wait, hold on a second. You thought the game was going to end at the police station?
Police station, yeah. I thought, you know, I mean...
Well, yeah, you have no idea where the game... They keep telling you that you'll be safe there, and then you get there and it's not safe. It's like, so you keep thinking you're going to get to the resolution, but once you get there, it's not the resolution.
Yeah, and everything, me personally, when did I play that game? 99, 2000? So I was a bit late to the whole 3D gaming. I never got a 64. I saw it. So it was pretty late into 3D gaming. So, you know, I skipped, you know, N64. The first time I saw PS1, it was Independence Day. I thought it looked like crap, you know, compared to what I had grown up with, you know, Sonic 1, 2, 3, Streets of Rage, even Super Nintendo, Super Mario World.
This guy had a good childhood.
Everything I saw, it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and in a lot of games I played before, it was like, well, this happened, but oh man, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, something crazier happened, and Resident Evil 2 had that. So when I finished it, like, oh man, it felt awesome, it was great. I felt like, I actually felt all beat up like Leon, but, you know, lately, you know, they haven't been that good, but definitely I would say 2 is definitely my favorite. The remake of 1, I would say, for me, is the scariest, but yeah. For me, Resident Evil, that's the gospel right there.
I had a big crush on Claire Redfield when I was a kid.
Wow, I've been on the podcast.
She's in the new game. Have you seen the trailer?
Oh, is she? She's finally in another game. That's awesome. She hasn't been in a game since Code Veronica. They didn't make her ridiculous, did they?
Actually, the Revelation series is actually not bad. It's probably the most.
Yeah, that's really good.
Most
Revelations, yeah.
It keeps the theme of survival horror out of all the original or all of the newer Resident Evil games.
Because like, that sort of makes Claire Redfield a marker point for like survival horror editions of Resident Evil, because the game that she was in before this latest one was Code Veronica, which was like the last one where they did the traditional style of Resident Evil. The next one was Resident Evil 4.
They never Michael Bay'd it.
Claire Redfield has never been in one of the Resident Evil games that, you know, jumped the shark.
Yeah, you mean punch the boulder?
Punch the boulder. That's a good
one. Dude, that's actually pretty. I couldn't stop laughing at that scene, and I remember
we played that. We were playing it together. I remember playing that with you.
Yeah,
I only beat that game with you because I don't think you can play Resident Evil 5 without a co-op by itself.
Oh yeah, the AI is retarded. It's stupid. No, it's funny. You know, being a fan, I followed. You know, in this case, Resident Evil 5, since, you know, first got announced. And it's pretty crazy. Actually, Chris Redfield's arms are probably 50% smaller than they were in the original videos. I mean, this guy just looks jacked. And I remember someone online saying, oh, yeah, you know, I play Resident Evil all the time, or, you know, before Chris started shooting horse steroids in his dick. But, yeah, you know, I enjoyed Resident Evil. So, yeah, that was crazy. That was
when he punched that boulder at the end of 5, I was on the floor. Like who wrote this shit? Like, seriously, who thought this was a good idea? Chris Redfield, he gut punches the boulder out of the way, and it's like, what?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Oh, man. Should we talk about Outbreak?
Oh, yeah.
If you guys are going to talk about Outbreak, I'm getting another beer.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead, please. Yeah, so Drake, yeah, you start off.
Let me just start off by saying, like, Horror Legends is kind of like, I mean, the Resident Evil Outbreak series is kind of one of the big inspirations for Horror Legends. So we wanted to recreate that feeling of multiplayer survival horror the way Outbreak does. And, like, I'm surprised no one else has really tried to recreate that feeling. Why hasn't Capcom done that? The Outbreak series is really cool, and there's a lot of people who are really wanting that experience, and it just they don't deliver on it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy for, you know, anyone listening that they've never played Outbreak. So Outbreak was out from 2004 through 2007 on the PS2, and, you know, they released two games, Outbreak and Outbreak File 2, which had extra maps, but then, you know, it turned out that there were actually characters from what would be Outbreak 3 hidden on the disc, so there was another on the way, but, you know, Capcom, they killed that, shut the servers down 07, 08, and actually, again, for anyone listening who doesn't know this, actually, some dude, I have no idea where he's from, goes by the handle The Fog, actually made his own Outbreak server, so we've been playing on that. Anybody interested, it's obsrv.org, outbreakserver.org. You could play on, you know, emulator, PC, or, you know, old school, you know, thin or fat PS2. But, yeah, I mean, it's fantastic to see this revival, and, oh, man, there's so many moments in Outbreak. Oh, man, I could make a podcast of Outbreak-only moments.
We should.
Oh, man, I got a broner right now. It's about Outbreak. The whole Outbreak experience for me, that's when I really got, you know, I became an online whore. I know a lot of people, you know, they get sucked into WoW and EverQuest and whatnot. For me, that was my online crack. But probably one of the best moments in Outbreak, I remember it was in Outbreak 1. There was this one level called The Hive. It's actually a hospital from Resident Evil 5. So you take this elevator.
Wait.
What?
In Resident Evil 5?
I'm sorry. Resident Evil 3. Resident Evil 3. All the outbreak, all the Resident Evil fans just scream like, what? You don't know your shit. Resident Evil 3, the hospital. So everybody starts off on this one floor. You take the elevator to other floors, but, you know, since back then there was no voice chat, these people got separated. So I remember getting separated, going down all the way to the basement. I'm walking down this long hallway. My favorite character was David, the mechanic. So, you know, I'm walking down this hallway with just a pocket knife. And in Outbreak, for anyone who hasn't played, if you're close to someone and they yell, help or come here, whatever action, or if you hear gunshots and if they're in the next room, you could hear that pretty muffled. So I'm walking down this hallway to the door at the end, but you know, there's a door before, but I know from having played before that if I go in that room, this leech monster is going to come after me. So I'm like, fuck that. I'm just going to go straight, but I'll go slow since I wasn't sure what was waiting for me. So I'm yelling out my teammates' names, and all of a sudden I hear like boom, 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 like three gunshots from somewhere close. And I walk past this door, and the door opens, and this zombie is like choking one of the other characters, and they just fell like right behind me. I was like, oh man, that was awesome. And the guy's like, help. Oh, that was epic.
Were you too busy nerding out to help him? You're like, oh, this is so cool. And he's like, oh, you bastard, help me, shoot him.
I was like, oh, yes, I'm finally in a Resident Evil. Oh, that was great. After we finish, I'm going to go log in and play, probably. No, I won't. I'm tired.
They're doing the Alien vs. Predator at Universal Horror Nights, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I went there, I would not be scared at all. I'd just be like so giddy. Like, please, for Alien, hi, this is so awesome. And everyone's like, you should be terrified. I'm like, no, this is really cool. And a Predator comes out and, like, tries to scare me. I'm like, oh, sweet. I would not be scared of that thing, but I would be nerding out so bad.
you'd hug the person dressed as a Predator and take a selfie?
One of my, one of the things on my bucket list is to high-five a guy in a Predator costume. Get a photo of it. Like, I want that photo. I want to put it on my wall and just like, yeah, I did that.
Nice. Oh, this is awesome, awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you guys want to add before we sign off? Or
yeah, just so you know, if you're following the Greenlight page, make sure you check us out on our social media outlets. We have a Facebook, Twitter, a YouTube channel, which has a couple videos on it. You can see some earlier alpha footage of Puppet Master there. Follow us on you can follow us on indiedb.com. We have a Horror Legends, a Pumpkin's Revenge post there now.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as you can follow us on Puppet Master, the game there as well. I think. And also remember to like our vote for our Steam Greenlight page. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already have done that, but yeah, we thank you very much for that. I think that's that about covers it. Is there anything did I miss anything?
No, you Dan, anything you want to add? Or
I just want to add, like, you know, people finding us on the Steam Greenlight to keep making posts about what you'd like to see in the game, like what kind of monsters, like you never know, maybe we'll like read one of them and be like, you know what, that would be a really awesome idea.
You know, everybody following us, reach out on any outlet on Steam, on
we've had like some really awesome turnouts on Steam Greenlight so far.
Yeah, it blew up really fast. It was surprising.
I mean, it's a really niche, like a really niche community, but the people that want it to be made seem to like really want to play it. And then there's also people that are just really excited by the prospect of a multiplayer horror game that's not certain other games out there.
Mm-hmm. Actually, on that topic, Jason Raul, Rawell, I think he was suggesting like a. The Cheddar Beast from Hellraiser, which we can't do the Hellraiser version, but we can do like it's like a hellhound type monster. And I think that would be kind of neat, like some kind of like demon dog, like kind of like Ghostbusters or something. That'd be pretty sweet. So that was
we'll have to talk about that one a little bit more in depth.
Oh yeah, I mean we would not just throw them in there willy nilly. We'd have to talk about it, but
Because honestly, my brother liked Hellraiser the movie, so I, out of principle, didn't watch it.
just to spite him.
Just to spite him, yeah.
Nice. I've only seen the first one, which is probably sacrilege for most horror fans, but I don't know, I just never really got into Hellraiser.
I never really thought Hellraiser was like a... I always thought it was more of a goth thing than a horror thing.
Yeah, it does feel very... I don't know, it is really gross. And that's one thing, I wasn't scared. I was kind of worried I was going to see something I would regret. I didn't need to see that. Like the transformation scene with the... I don't know if you guys... Danny, I know you haven't seen, but Roberto, have you seen Hellraiser 1?
I've seen one, two, or wait, I've seen the first one, and actually recently, when I was a kid, fuck no, I wouldn't watch any of it. Just...
Yeah, Hellraiser seems a little hardcore for a kid, but I mean, yeah. I know there's probably a lot of kids that watch it, but it's, you know, whatever. But the scene...
I always thought it was like too like self-gratifying, and it's like...
Well, the first one's really, really cool, and there's some really fascinating moments in it. It'd be worth rewatching. It's just like, I'm not really... I get kind of squeamish, but there's a scene where like a guy comes back from the dead, and he comes out of the floorboards, and he just like his body like rematerializes into flesh, like she's blood and stuff, and it looks so gross. Like, oh my god, I'm so glad I didn't eat anything before that. It was it was a really cool moment though. It was like the special effects in that movie are really cool. I'm a big I love practical special effects, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. Probably the character that creeps me out the most, I don't know why, is that like chubby guy with the glasses.
Oh, I think they call him like Butterball or something.
Yeah, he looks like a pervert. I don't know. It's just weird. Like everybody else, I would be scared that they're going to kill me and probably torture me and put me through this crazy hell. But this guy, I think he's just going to open up his jacket and, you know, flip something out. I don't know. It's weird.
Oh my god. So anyway, is there anything else we should mention?
No, I mean, if you guys don't want to add anything, no, I'm good. Everybody out there listening, you know, feel free to reach out on any media.
Oh, right. That reminds me. Please ask us questions, because we're planning to do another podcast. We're going to probably do one of these once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any questions or anything, feel free to send us an email at info@octobergames.com, and we'll check those out in our next email or next podcast, and we'll be sure to answer them.
Yeah, awesome. So Drake, Dan, it's been awesome. It's been great. A couple beers here on the desk. Definitely more for next time.
I got four. I got four.
Three.
Three.
Dan wins.
I got the Elysian loser. Elysian loser beer. it's a loser pale ale, so I'm drinking like a loser.
Okay, let's.
Somebody out there gets that reference. Somebody gets it.
Well, anyway, thanks everyone, and we'll be sure to talk to you next time.